Well, good morning, everybody. It is great to be with you today on this first Sunday of 2021. My name is Nolan Donald. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor here at Foley United Methodist Church, and we are so glad you're here today. And I just want to thank Chris and the worship team and John for leading us this morning. And I hope that wherever you are, that whatever your circumstance is this morning, if you're watching because you didn't get to go to the park this morning, if you're watching because you wish that you could watch our 11 o'clock service and we had a better sound system, whatever the reason, I pray that you can put all those circumstances away and just rest in God's presence this morning and just enjoy sweet fellowship with His Spirit. What John said as we began this morning is so true, that even though we can't be together in this room or in the sanctuary or in our spirit center the way we would like to be, we just believe that by the Holy Spirit that we are connected and that God is present with you. And so I just invite you just to pause to engage in God's presence right there with you. So just before I jump into what we're going to do this morning, let's just take a second and just breathe in God's presence. Just wherever you are, maybe take a deep breath. Just recognize that God is there with you, that by the promise of Jesus, His Spirit is in you. And just say, thank you, Lord, we receive your gift this morning. So today we're going to begin a new sermon series to start kind of through the month of January that really will help us kind of take what John was just talking about when he did our prayer time a few minutes ago, of kind of this sense of, we talked in the end of last year a lot about being renewed. We talked about a deeper sense of discipleship. One of the kind of pillars that we've set for the church in this kind of new season is a transformational discipleship. But I think it is so easy for us to live kind of hearing about discipleship and thinking about what it means to follow Jesus. But ultimately, if we're not careful, kind of our autopilot or our default is just to kind of go right back into going, well, I'm just going to do church stuff, and you know, I might read my upper room or do something on the Bible app. But we want to really think as we begin 2021 of what does it look like to really live into this new life. And so we're calling this sermon series through the month of January A Whole New World, and that's not because I'm a big Aladdin fan, although I do like Aladdin. But I really believe that for a lot of Christians, that we live on the right side of Good Friday, but the wrong side of Easter Sunday. That we love that Jesus died for us, that we love the purchase of our sin on the cross, but we miss the resurrected life that God wants us to live in. And so we're going to spend a couple weeks, we're going to look at just John 20 and John 21. So if over the next few weeks you want to begin to read that, maybe a little bit every day, or read through it over and over again through the weeks, we're going to look at this because I think there is just this amazing thing that happens in these two chapters, is that we get to see some experiences that the risen Jesus has with people, everyday people, in the 50 days that he lived before he ascended back to heaven. And we get to see how he interacts. And I believe for us that what that is a model of how God wants to work in our lives, that how the power of the Holy Spirit, that God is, these are things that God wants to do in us. And so we're going to dig in over these few weeks to these texts to see how we might be engaging with God in this resurrected life, in this Easter people life, in this being renewed life. And so that's where we're going to go over these next few weeks. I want to read for us this morning the first text we're going to look at, which is out of the Gospel of John, chapter 20, and I'm going to read verses 11 through 18, John 20, 11 through 18. The text is going to be there on the screen, or you can open up another window on your computer, or grab your Bible if it's sitting there, but I want to read for us John 11 through 18, 20, 11 through 18, and then we're going to jump in and really dig into what it is that God wants to do in our lives as we seek to live into this whole new world that he's inviting us into. So let's listen now together for the word of the Lord. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. This is on Easter morning. This is Mary standing at the empty tomb on Easter morning. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, "Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God. These words are true, and they can be trusted. Pray with me, please. God, thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, thank you for the amazing gift of the resurrection. And Lord, we don't want to miss your presence and your work in our lives. We don't want to miss what it looks like to live into the fullness of the life that you give to us. And so God, we receive your gift this morning. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit even right now would meet us where we are. Lord, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter where we're watching, no matter when we're watching, no matter what is going on all around us, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would teach us and guide us, that you would work in us. And Lord, we long to live into the fullness of what you desire for us all. And we pray together in the strong and mighty name of Jesus. And all God's children said, amen. Have you ever had a season or a situation where you have asked yourself, "I wonder where God is"? Have you? Some of you may be laughing right now. You're like, "Hello, we just finished 2020. Of course, I've had a season where I've wondered where God was." But I wonder. I bet we could go, and every one of you who's watching right now, every one of you who's in the room here, we could go around and we could spend the rest of the morning talking about seasons or situations or circumstances in your life that you have had where you have said, "I wonder where God is." Because what tends to happen, the way we tend to live, is that we live that we think that when good things are happening, that God is present, that God must be working and pouring out blessing when good things are going on. But when bad things happen, our default is to automatically assume that God isn't there. And so for you, maybe it's some aspect of 2020 that you just went through a really tough year. Maybe it's you're still trying to piece together rebuilding after the hurricane. You're wondering where the money is. Maybe for you, you've watched loved ones deal with this COVID pandemic. Maybe it's economic. Some of you, you have watched the struggle that your children or your grandchildren have gone through. And you've longed for something to be different in their lives. And you found yourself saying, "God, where are you in this?" Some of you have been through really challenging issues in your own personal life, whether it's a failed marriage or a broken relationship or a struggle that you've been through with who knows what, something in your employment, something in your moving to Baldwin County. It could be anything. And you've wondered, where is God in the midst of this? For some of you, maybe it's not a specific issue. Maybe it's just kind of the general tenor or feeling of your life. That there's a part of you that you look at, you know, "I've been trying to do the right things. I've been trying to play my part. I've been trying to be good and go to church and do these things. And it just feels like something's missing." Or maybe there's this sense of you're just kind of checked out and depressed. And you're like, "Where is God in the midst of this?" I believe that the truth is, and what we see in this text, is that this is not the life that God wants us to live when we're participating fully in the resurrected life. Because what we find is not just in the good places, but particularly in the hardest places of our lives, that God is present and at work and longs to meet us in those moments. Mary Magdalene, the woman who came to the tomb there on that first Easter morning, she was kind of the chief of the followers of Jesus. She had walked with Jesus. She had been with Jesus. She deeply loved Jesus and served him. She had really come to find that Jesus, for her, was the direction of her life that she wanted. That Jesus, for her, was the hope and leadership that she needed. And so when Jesus was wrongly accused and unjustly ripped out of her life and killed on this Roman cross, she encountered pain and grief unlike anything maybe we can imagine. I mean, she watched as her friend was killed. She, unlike many of the disciples and the crowds, did not run away. She stood near the foot of the cross and she watched Jesus die. And you can just imagine the deep pain and grief that she felt as she experienced this one who she had put her hope in, this one who she had come to trust, the one who had seemed to have the offer to change her life, as that kind of was ripped away. You can imagine just the sense of mourning and weight that she carried as she walked away from that tomb on Friday night when the stone was rolled in front of the tomb and as her hope just seemed to evaporate. And just like someone who had been through the hardest and most difficult struggle of her life, she came back first on that Sunday morning, not because she expected that the tomb would be empty. Nobody expected that there would be no body. Nobody expected that. She came back because her life was ruined. Her life was wrecked. She was experiencing grief and pain and hurt unlike anything else. And like a good Jewish woman of that day, she came to grieve and mourn at the tomb. Early on that Sunday morning, when she made her way into the garden where that tomb was, where they had buried Jesus on Friday, from a distance, just as the sun was coming up, as it was beginning to be first light, she looked and she could see that the tomb, that the stone had been rolled back away and the tomb was open. As soon as she noticed that the tomb wasn't open, she didn't go any closer to begin with. It's really interesting because in the moment of her pain and grief, she saw that the stone was open, and she began to create in her mind the assumptions and direction of everything that she thought had already happened. She really confirms what you've probably heard me say before if you've tuned into Foley United Methodist Church over the years before, is that we are meaning-making machines. And immediately when she saw that that stone was rolled away, she began to make a meaning in her mind of what was going on. She knew that Jesus had been unjustly killed, that he had been ripped away from them. And so she just assumed that it was not enough for them to have killed Jesus and buried him and taken them out of the world around him, that now they had to come back and steal the body, and that they were going to make this an even bigger issue. And so there were all these things, and she didn't go and look, she didn't investigate, she didn't stop and pray, she didn't say, God, where are you in the midst of this? She just ran and began to live into this story that she created in her mind. Now I just want to stop right here and say that oftentimes this is what you and I do. That long before we ever get closer, long before we ever stop and wonder where God is, long before we dig into the situations that we're walking in, is that we create a story in our mind, and that we begin to live out of that story without taking any stock of what God may be doing or where God may be present in the middle of it. I bet right now, if you'll just stop, you could think of ways that you've done that in the past, where you've told yourself a story about someone. Maybe it was a boss or a coworker or a spouse. Maybe it was a neighbor or a struggle that you were going through, where you created a story in your mind. And the truth is that you had made it up, that when you really came to find out what was going on, that a completely different thing was happening. It is our default. We do it all the time. And our tendency is to create almost the worst possible scenarios in our mind. And so Mary just plays right into this. She runs and tells Peter and John. She says, they've taken the body away. We don't know where they put him. We don't know what's going on. And she recruits them to come and be a part of what she's doing. And they run to the tomb. And Peter and John get there and they look around and they end up taking off. And Mary just kind of stands there. She makes her way back. She's still grief-stricken. And you can tell that she's just in this terrible place, because finally she stops and she kind of squats down and she looks into the tomb to see what's going on. And John amazingly tells us that there are two angels seated in the tomb. And Mary doesn't even notice. She doesn't even go, wow, what's going on? She is so caught up in the story in her mind of what it is that's going on, that she can't even make sense or compute inside that God could be doing something, or that God may be up to something different than what she's experiencing. They even ask her. They say, woman, why are you crying? As if they know she really shouldn't be. As if they know that in this moment her tears aren't needed. She goes through the litany that she says, if you know where they've taken him, just tell me and I'll go and find him. And it's as she's sitting there trying to make sense of what's happening, that Jesus himself walks up behind her. And you can just picture it as Jesus taps her on the shoulder and she turns around. She doesn't even recognize him. She doesn't recognize that Jesus has shown up in her midst to meet her in this darkest, hardest place. And she just goes through the litany one more time saying, if you know where they've taken him, just tell me and I will go and get him. And it's only if you were wondering if she possibly could see something happening here, if you were wondering if there was any chance of her not being in this terrible place, seeing Jesus himself walk up It's just the confirmation that she is in a place where she is so consumed by the story that she's told herself, that there is no room for what God may be doing. That it isn't until Jesus takes her and grabs her shoulders, just like I can imagine a good friend doing to you, that they would take her and almost kind of shake her a little bit. And Jesus gets her in a loving way, the only way that Jesus can act. He gets her shoulders and he looks her in the eye and he holds her. And he says, Mary. And it's only when Jesus says her name that something happens. It's only when Jesus says her name that something shakes her and it kind of jars her out of this place of living into this story that she's made up and kind of recognizing that she's not been embracing all that may be happening. All of a sudden she recognizes Jesus and she cries out, Teacher. Have you ever had a moment where you've been in a situation and you've asked yourself, where is God in the middle of this? Have you ever had that place where you've been through deep pain or hurt or struggle and you've wondered, where is God in the middle of this? This was that moment for Mary. Everything that she had put her hope in was gone. Everything that she had wished to be different, that she had begun to believe was changing, was taken away. And she was in this place of wondering where God was. And what we can see as we watch Mary in this moment is that God is at work all around her. It's so easy for us to look at Mary, and we can understand how she does what she does, and we can put ourselves in that place of when we're in pain or struggle or hardship or the diagnosis comes back or we lose the job or the struggle with the kids is real, that we just get so tunnel visioned on what it is we think, on what it is that we're convinced is the way it is. And what we can see as we pull back and look at Mary is that God is moving all around her, that God is present all around her, that God is up to something all around her, but she is so entrenched in what she thinks that she can't even begin to experience what God wants. I think the reason that John tells us that the angels are there in the tomb is just to assure us that God is present in the midst of her darkest and hardest and most struggling moment that she's been through. And what we can learn from this, as we think about our own lives and we think about what it looks like for us to live into this whole new world that Jesus is inviting us into, not as just church attenders or as moral people or as people who know the difference between right or wrong or people who kind of look down and judge all their neighbors and think that if you didn't vote the right way that somehow you're not a Christian. Not at any of that. But if we're going to live into this resurrected life that Jesus is inviting us into, what we can see as we look at Mary is that no matter what we're going through, is that God is present. And no matter what our struggle is, no matter what our hardship is that he is longing to break in, that he is longing to speak our name, that he is longing to call out to us and lead us into a bigger reality. Now, you need to know that oftentimes when God shows up, he doesn't look the way we think he will. I think that's part of the struggle of what Mary went into this moment with, is that she was convinced that if God was going to be present, if God was going to do something, that it had to fit into the picture of how she had experienced Jesus before. And what we see clearly is that God was present and at work, but it did not look anything like what she thought. That what we see is that God was eager to do something, but until she was willing to lay down the fact that it wasn't going to meet her story, to surrender her story, to surrender her assumptions, that there was no way for her to experience all that God wanted. Now, if this is true, this changes everything. Because this is, if this is true, when you and I go through seasons like 2020 or like the struggle that you're feeling or like the depression or hardship you're dealing with or the broken relationship you're in or whatever it is, we don't have to ask the question, is God present? Because the question isn't, is God present? The question is, where is God at work? Where is God moving? How is God meeting me? How is he seeking to invite me into a bigger and deeper reality than anything I've ever known before? How is he attempting to meet me in a place that will lead me to a deeper sense of his presence and a deeper confidence in who he is? We don't have to wonder, is God present in the hard things that we go through? The question isn't about if, the question is how. The question is, how is God moving and how is God at work in this place? It changes everything. Because instead of just letting our faith falter and kind of checking out and distancing ourselves away from God and saying, I'm just giving up on all that God stuff, it actually invites us to the place of pushing in more, of pressing into more of what God wants, of trying to live more fully into the presence of God. Because we don't have to wonder if God is present, because what we see in this post-resurrection encounter is that Jesus, in his resurrected body, shows up, and that what you and I can count on is that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives in the same way. And it may not look the way we think it will always look. It may look very different than what we thought it would look like before, but it doesn't change the fact that God is there. It doesn't change the fact that God is longing to speak our name, that God is longing to grab and put his hands on our shoulders and call out to us so that he can bring us into a new reality and a new life and a fullness of his presence and his value in us, that we can live more completely and trusting more deeply in who he is and what he's about. I wonder what it would look like for you and me if we began 2021 living into this whole new world. I wonder what it would look like if we allowed our life to be interrupted. If you look at what happened when Mary actually got the fact that Jesus was present and that he had something he wanted to do in her life in the midst of this terribly dark and hard situation, it was only in the moment where she stopped. It was only in the moment where she got really still. It was only in the moment where she could pause long enough to look and see and lay down her assumptions that she could embrace that God was meeting her there, even though it didn't look like what she wanted it to look like. Even though Jesus had still been through the pain of the cross, and even though she had still been through deep and terrible grief, none of that went away. God met her in the midst of it. When she got still enough and stopped long enough to hear him calling and to see his presence. I think for so many of us, we miss so much of what God wants because we don't know how to be still. I think for so many of us, we miss so much of what God is doing in our midst. We struggle with the hardest situations we're walking through, not because God is absent, but because we've checked out, because we're so busy and hyped up and hectic and frantic the way that Mary was, creating stories and running around and making up assumptions and all these things that we can't even entertain or see how God might be moving. And so I wonder what it would look like for you and for me as we begin 2021. To begin it as a year of stillness, as a year of stopping, as a year of pushing back distractions. What would it look like for us to live into this whole new world to say, I'm not going to participate in that way of the world that is anxious and frantic and hectic, that is running around and assuming things and making up stories, that before I do any of that, I'm going to stop. And I'm going to create stillness in my life. And I'm going to stop and say, God, it's not if you're present, it's how you're working. And you're going to open yourself and say, God, what is it that you want to say to me? How is it that you want to meet me when you show up and meet in his presence? What is it that he wants to do in you? I mean, you could do this in all kind of ways. Maybe for you this year, your car. And maybe you just need to start with this week. Your car becomes a sanctuary of stillness. No podcasts, no music, no talking on the phone, whatever it is that you're just going to be. And that you're going to just dedicate. Maybe in just a minute when we pray, you're going to pray. You're going to say, Lord, I just want to consecrate my car as a meeting room with you. And that when you get in your car, nothing else is going on except for I just want to be with you. And we're going to ride together. And I'm going to listen for how you're speaking. I'm going to allow you to speak into my life, and I'm going to look for the ways that you're moving and working, even in the hardest places that I'm in. Maybe for you, it's this year you want to say, before I leave my house, first thing in the morning, I'm going to find a chair. Maybe it's in a bedroom you don't use very often, or it's in a separate part of the house, a place you don't go regularly, and you're going to say, I'm just going to spend 10 minutes. And if you want to do, you know, Bible reading and praying and that kind of thing, but maybe you just want to stop and say, Lord, I believe you're calling my name, and I'm just going to sit in your presence. I'm just going to receive the gift that you've already given to me. I'm just going to welcome more of what you want to do. Maybe for you, it's you want to begin some habits or some behaviors of journaling or praying or reading the Bible on a regular basis. There are all kinds of ways that you could do that, not in a rote legalistic way, but in a way to really stop and create stillness in your life. One of the challenges I've done over the last 2 years is at the beginning of the year, I delete every app off of my phone. And I do it because I find that my phone becomes my easy go-to time filler. That it's not that I really need to check the ESPN app again and find out anything new that's going on. I just pick it up, and out of default, I end up looking at things and surfing websites and, you know, checking apps and doing that. And so I just deleted all those things off my phone. Because what happens is we kind of in this kind of hectic, frantic world, we pick it up and play a game, or we take it up and check Facebook again, or we do this or we do that. And if you'll just take all that away, it will help you break the routines of your life enough to say, what does it look like for me to get still? What does it look like for me to become aware of God's presence in my midst? What does it look like for me to hear how God is meeting me in the midst of wherever I am? I think so frequently what happens is we default into this life of hectic, frantic assumptions, the world that Mary was in, where she missed God's presence among her. And what we see is that God longs to show up and meet us no matter what we're going through. I believe that we can live a life interrupted, that our life doesn't have to look like Mary's, that we can create stillness, that we can sit in God's presence, that we can receive what he's doing, that we can know a whole new world, that we can live into a life that doesn't just look like tired and worn out religion, but it looks like abundant living and abiding in God's presence. That's what it means to be renewed. That's what it means to follow as a disciple. That's what it means to live the life that God longs for us to have. And that's where we're going together. And so I want to take just a moment, and we're going to pray. And I'm going to invite you right where you are just to begin to say, what does it look like for me to create space in my life? But as we start 2021, my challenge to you is that you would begin to live a life interrupted. Because it's not a question of if God is present. It's how is he moving and working where you are. Let's pray together. I just invite you right where you are, just again, just like we started, take a deep breath and just stop. Take a moment of stillness. Don't worry about the clutter or chaos or noise around you. Just be present with God. Let's pray, Holy Spirit, you would move right now. We just invite you, people who are watching, wherever they are, that you would just speak to them. That you would restore hearts, that you would reveal your love in powerful ways. And just receive the gift you give. And I just believe that God, just like Jesus did for Mary, that he is calling out your name. Not in a condemning way, not in a critiquing way, not in a shaming way, but in love, because he desires you. So I just want you to hear your name being called by the voice of the Spirit right now, because he loves you. God, thank you that you invite us into a new life, a whole new world. Lord, don't let us trade the frantic, hectic, and busy assumptions of this life for the wholeness and completeness and abundance that you long for us to give. Help us. Give us courage. Give us boldness that we might be still and meet you in your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's children, wherever they are, whenever they watch, digitally together said, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, I'm so glad that you joined us on this first Sunday of 2021. I believe that God has great things in store. I'm excited about what's going to happen over these next few weeks as we dig into what it looks like to live into this whole new world. And I'm excited about what God wants for you. And so we just pray God's favor and best over you as you go this week. And as you go, remember to love the folks around you, serve those around you, check on your neighbors. And we look forward to seeing you back here together next Sunday. Have a great week, everyone.